Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And as usual, before we get started, just a quick reminder what the ratings mean. 5 stars, extraordinary. 4 stars, excellent. 3 stars, above average. 2 stars, average. And 1 star, fair. The first restaurant review I'm going to read is for Sai Krishna Bhavan. They are located at 10970-108 Chapel Hill Road, and that's in Morrisville. Phone number 919-481-0910, and they received 3.5 stars. If you happen to stumble across Sai Krishna Bhavan and decide to stop in for some tandoori chicken or lamb curry, you're in for a big surprise. Of the dozens of Indian restaurants in the Triangle, it's one of a mere handful specializing in southern Indian cuisine. The menu is strictly vegetarian, and many dishes are spicier than you'll typically find in the north. You'll search in vain for the northern Indian fare that's familiar to most Americans. Instead, you'll find dishes like evial, vegetables and coconut sauce, and dahi vada, fried lentil donuts dipped in yogurt, and entire categories devoted to dosa, rice flour crepes, and uthapam, savory lentil and rice flour pancakes. Even if you're a fan of the cuisine, chances are you'll discover a few items on the menu you haven't come across before. And don't let any of that stop you from embarking on a rewarding gastronomic adventure that could well have you returning again and again for further exploration. If the menu's accurate but brief descriptions aren't a sufficient map to chart your course, rest assured that owner Rajanda Yerlagada is a most able and affable tour guide. Born in Andhra Pradesh, Yerlagada has worked in several southern Indian restaurants on the East Coast, most recently for 10 years at UDP Cafe in Kerala. He set out on his own to open Sai Krishna Bhavan in November. Yerlagada will cheerfully help you tailor your order to your palate and your sense of adventure. He might steer you toward the assorted appetizer platter, which, except for the fiery chili pakora, offers a gentle introduction to the cuisine. The platter even includes a large vegetable pakora that would make any devotee of northern Indian cuisine feel right at home. You'll also get a lightly breaded cutlet of minced vegetables, a batter-fried lentil dumpling called banda with mildly spiced filling of mashed potatoes and peas, and vada. Served with sambar, the spicy lentil soup that accompanies many dishes, and a trio of chutneys, including the coconut chutney that's a hallmark of the cuisine, it's ample for 3 or 4 to share. An Indian take on the spring roll, whose mixed vegetable filling is punctuated with onion, is another way to ease your way into the meal. Follow that with uthapam, the one with coconut baked into the top of the cake until the shreds turn a nice toasty brown. If you're feeling bolder, uthapam with diced onion and hot chilies ought to hit the spot. Either way, be sure to dip pieces into the coconut chutney that's served alongside, or the ginger chutney that's provided if you ask. You'll also want to try at least one of the 15 variations on dosa, the signature dish of southern India. Always an impressive sight, the crepe is so large that, even when it's folded around a filling, its edges hang several inches off the rim of the plate. The dosa is very thin, though, and the filling little more than a bulge in the middle. A couple of people shouldn't have trouble polishing off at least one. But which filling? Mysore masala dosa with mashed potato and onion on a whisper-thin smear of spicy chutney is a classic. Deservedly so, but I'm partial to the butter dosa, no filling at all, just acres of buttery crepe with a lacy, delicately crisp border. In lieu of a filling, I'd happily round out my meal with Kadi Bindi curry, a colorful medley of okra, diced red and green bell peppers and onion, in a gently spiced curry showered with chopped cilantro. Maybe an order of gobi manchurian, a fiery Indian Chinese dish featuring crisp chili red and nuggets, if you order it dry rather than with gravy, of cauliflower. Or the Hyderabadi deep-fried eggplant classic, Guth Vanke. The dining rooms are modestly but attractively furnished in an understated contemporary style whose muted shades of coral and ivory created a relaxed and quietly inviting mood. In the room on the left, a lunch buffet is offered every day but Monday. The restaurant's name translates to something like House of Krishna, according to its owner. That's a bold name for a first restaurant, in essence proclaiming it a worthy dwelling for one of Hinduism's greatest avatars. I'd say that's not far off the mark. Again, Sai Krishna Bhavan received 3.5 stars, located at 10970-108 Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville, phone number 919-481-0910. The next restaurant review I'm going to read is for Battistella's, and they are located at 200 East Martin Street in Raleigh, phone number 919-803-2501, and they received 4 stars. "You know I don't like Cajun," my wife said, "but I'll come along if you need me." This is in response to my invitation to join me for dinner at Battistella's, which opened last September in City Market. I was aware of her lack of fondness for the cuisine, and I'll confess I sweetened the offer with the promise of fried oysters. It wasn't that I lacked for volunteers. I saw this as a golden opportunity to win my number one dining companion over to a cuisine I had been a fan of ever since my first visit to New Orleans many years ago. My wife's exposure to the cuisine, on the other hand, was limited to the handful of Cajun Creole restaurants that have opened in the Triangle over the past 15 years or so, and for the most part, deservedly closed. I was confident I could win her over. Owner chef Brian Battistella was born across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans, where his family owned the city's oldest fish market. His culinary pedigree includes the legendary Commander's Palace and Dickie Brennan's in the French Quarter. I've been a fan of his cooking ever since Hurricane Katrina forced him to flee to Clayton, where he opened a little gem of a takeout shop called Louise's. The chef took his pots and knives to Raleigh in 2008, where he operated Battistella's New Orleans kitchen for a couple of years in the erstwhile lounge of the old Crabtree Inn. In spite of the constraints dictated by cramped and dated quarters, Battistella's cooking showed considerable promise. That promise is fully realized in his latest venture, offering a seasonally evolving mix of traditional fare and contemporary creations inspired by a strong commitment to regional suppliers. Battistella's is easily the best Cajun Creole restaurant in the Triangle has ever seen, or at least in the quarter century since I've lived here. Our meal began auspiciously with cocktails mixed by Jenna Sear, who fills dual roles as bar manager and floor manager with equal aplomb. My wife pronounced her Spicy 50, a pungent elixir of whipped vodka, Saint Germain, lime honey, and red chilies, her new favorite cocktail. My Sazerac was impeccable, as was my first course, New Orleans barbecue shrimp in a sauce punctuated with rosemary, lemon, and garlic, a sauce so addictive I was grateful for an accommodating waiter who offered more bread for sopping without having to be asked. And my wife's fried oysters? Delicately crisp and almost obscenely fat, set against a velvety backdrop of pimento cheese cream, more sopping, with a slaw of early local harvest green tomatoes singing brassy counterpoint. It was clear I'd have no trouble luring her back for a return visit. Not when the temptations included an oyster po' boy that I knew from prior experience to be the best I've had this side of Bayou country. As it was, I figured she might choose as her entree a seafood platter featuring oysters, shrimp, and catfish, fried or blackened, served with hand-cut fries, coleslaw, and pimento cheese fritters. Instead, she opted for the cast-iron-seared North Carolina flounder with crawfish, fried rice, sweet soy butter, and the Cajun holy trinity of celery, bell pepper, and onion. The combination was well-conceived, and the fish expertly cooked. So was my bone-in strip steak from Rare Earth Farms, a grass-fed beef specialist in Zebulon owned by Carl Hudson, Battistella's partner in the restaurant. Grilled precisely medium-rare as ordered, the steak came with a soul-satisfying redskin potato gratin and wispy Creole mustard-crusted onion rings. By the time we finished dessert, lemon meringue pie and bread pudding, served warm with a white chocolate sauce, both first-rate, I knew my wife was hooked. Which is a good thing, because there's so much more to explore. I'm sure my wife would like the soft-shell crab platter I enjoyed on another visit, though the doughy-centered fritters were a rare disappointment. And Battistella's riff on shrimp and grits with Andalay, Prodigal Farm goat cheese, grits, and Holy Trinity sauce. I'd like to try the crawfish and spring onion gratin that wasn't available the night I tried to order it. Having sampled the crawfish etouffee, I'm betting the gratin would be worth the wait. You enter Battistella's through the bar, a wise design choice that mentally starts you on a journey from downtown Raleigh to New Orleans. In the dining room, linoleum tile floors, windows overlooking the cobblestone streets of City Market, and vintage maps and photographs of New Orleans on peeling plaster over brick walls reinforce the illusion. The food makes it real. Again, Battistella's received 4 stars, located at 200 East Martin Street in Raleigh. Phone number again, 919-803-2501. The next restaurant I'm going to read is a Mexican restaurant called Munchie's Mexican Bar and Grill. They are located at 10630-104 Durant Road, and that is also in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-846-3456, and they received 3 stars. In a region where Tex-Mex options are dominated by cookie-cutter chains with, quote, authentic names, like El Dorado and Las Palmas, Munchie's moniker stands out like a baseball cap in a room full of sombreros. It suggests a casual place, certainly, but also something a little fresher, maybe even a little bit more contemporary than the chains. The spare modern decor reinforces the feeling. A small stylized sculpture of a lizard clinging to a wall in one corner of the otherwise minimally decorated dining room is the closest thing you'll find to a Mexican restaurant cliché. In fair weather, customers gravitate to tables under the twinkle lights of an awning sheltered patio that's sandwiched between the storefront and the parking lot of the Falls River Shopping Center, where Munchie's opened last summer. A sleek curved bar at the back of the dining room gives rise to the hope that you might even score a margarita that doesn't taste like lime Kool-Aid. You order one, and sure enough, you can actually taste the tequila. You sip as you nibble on chips and excellent cilantro-spangled salsa, and you open the menu, which at first glance doesn't look all that different from the competition's. Quesadillas, burritos, fajitas, combo platters, and other familiar Tex-Mex favorites make up the overwhelming majority of the offering. A mere handful of items, seafood taco salad, your choice of tuna, tilapia, or shrimp, a, quote, grumpy steak burrito with chipotle and habanero sauce, and an appetizer offering of bacon cheese fries, might in a pinch qualify for the contemporary label. Look a little closer, though, and you'll see that the shrimp and their ceviche de camarón are jumbos. There's a splash of orange juice in Munchie's Polo Loco, a medley of grilled chicken breast and fresh vegetables topped with Monterey Jack cheese. Handmade tamales include vegetarian versions with fillings of spinach and elote, corn kernels cut from the cob. Turns out the emphasis at Munchie's is not so much on contemporary as it is on fresh. Chili's Rellenos are made with fresh poblanos, filled with a savory magna of molten cheese and mashed potato, fried in an egg white batter, and blanketed with a mild homemade tomato sauce and crumbled cotija cheese. The classic enchilada sauce is made in-house, too. So are the poblano cheese sauce and creamy enchiladas. Filling options included shredded or ground beef and juicy shredded chicken, and the tomato salsa, tomatillo salsa in enchiladas verdes. Even the notoriously labor-intensive mole sauce is made from scratch. Following a growing trend among Tex-Mex eateries, Munchie's offers a modest selection of authentic taquera-style soft tacos. Carne asada, el pastor, and carnitas are all worthy. Making a request for a taco dinner with one of each is a winning bet. The fact that the tortillas are not house-made is a minor letdown, especially given the general emphasis on scratch cooking. Disappointments are infrequent and minor across the board, for that matter. The medium shrimp is shrimp in Camarones a la Diabla are merely okay, but the sauce delivers in spades on the fiery promise of its name. The grilled skirt steak and carne asada needs a touch of salt when I ordered it, but that was easily remedied, and the dish was otherwise exemplary, right down to the grilled spring onion and jalapeno garnish. Most entrees come with rice and your choice of refried or first-rate black beans. Frijoles charros, simmered with diced pork belly, are well worth the $1.50 surcharge. Service is as friendly as the restaurant's name and as laid back. Sometimes it's too laid back, as you'll discover when you have to flag down a server for a drink refill or to remind him of a forgotten order of guacamole, which, by the way, is well worth the effort. Given the restaurant's English name and against the grain style, it may come as a surprise to learn that Munchie's is owned by a native Mexican veteran of the Tex-Mex chains. Juan Baez worked and partnered for some 15 years in local chains before setting out on his own to open Munchie's. His efforts to raise the bar with his first solo venture are commendable and surprisingly successful for his debut effort. Again, Munchie's received 3 stars. Located at 10630-104 Durant Road in Raleigh. Phone number 919-846-3456. The next restaurant review is for Mandolin. And Mandolin is also located in Raleigh. The address is 2519 Fairview Road. Phone number 919-322-0365. And they received 4.5 stars. A recent special at Mandolin featured a single scallop for $15, and it was worth every penny. Delivered live to the restaurant, the monumental mollusk and its dense, briny, sweet roe sac were expertly pan-seared and presented on the half-shell. Anchored to terra firma by an earthy dab of parsnip puree and served on a plate bejeweled with emerald green sugar snap peas and a dainty salad of local strawberries, it was a truly memorable dish. Not that all memories come so dear at Mandolin. True, dinner for two can run close to $200, especially if you get seduced by Mandolin's 22-page wine list. Prices are eminently fair, I hasten to add, with some 40 wines by the glass to choose from, so there's no need to get carried away. Regardless of how thick your wallet, you'd be well advised to engage sommelier Charles Kirkwood as your guide to an impressive old-world-leaning selection, most from small wineries rarely found outside the immediate region in which they were made. With a little restraint, you can keep the entire tab for two at Mandolin south of triple digits. Chilled pea soup with country ham and béarnaise sauce, a recent offering on owner-chef Sean Fowler's daily showcase of local produce, evokes just as many satisfied moans as a foie gras torchon with pan perdu and poached pears, for half the price. You certainly won't forget Fowler's rendition of the soul food classic, chicken and waffles, though the entree rings up at just $4 or more than the scallop appetizer. An exquisitely juicy breast with a shatter crisp crust takes center stage, with buckwheat waffle and braised mustard greens in supporting roles. The crowning touch is a bacon mushroom foam, one of the molecular gastronomy techniques that the chef occasionally employs to add cutting-edge pizzazz to a menu whose roots are firmly planted in Southern tradition. Another contemporary culinary riff takes the form of an egg, poached in an immersion circulator into an oval of silk that oozes when pierced with a fork, saucing an impeccable pan-seared flounder. Yet another dish floats a cloud of rhubarb foam over a salad celebrating local harvests of strawberries, spinach, asparagus, and red ribbon sorrel. No scientific wizardry is evident in a first-course presentation of grilled North Carolina monkfish, pork belly, black-eyed peas, smoked tomatoes, and a mustardy chow chow. None is needed. Same goes for a recent entree featuring hainer steak, sweet potato puree, and sautéed ramps topped with wispy threads of fried potato straw. And for wood-grilled swordfish, though the accompanying smashed fingerling potatoes, molded into an attractive cylinder but dry, are a rare instance of substance suffering for the sake of style. The ramps are no doubt gone for the season, and much of the menu will have changed by now. Rest assured that it's nearly impossible to go wrong. Also be advised that to skip dessert would be unthinkable, given temptations such as hot Valrhona chocolate souffle, Kung Pao peanut butter mousse with vanilla Szechuan ice cream, and an ever-changing kaleidoscope of house-made sorbets. Mandolin is Sean Fowler's first restaurant and a homecoming of sorts for the chef. The Raleigh native fondly remembers washing down a grilled cheese with an ice-cold limeade when he was a boy at the old Johnson's Pharmacy, which once occupied the space where Mandolin now stands. The drugstore closed long ago, and the building has for more than a decade been home to a succession of restaurants. Meanwhile, Fowler grew up and went to culinary school at Johnson & Wales in Denver, then honed his skills at acclaimed restaurants from La Bernardine in New York and to most recently Farrington House. With the backing of Haynes Roberts, the chef's business partner and childhood friend, who often sat next to him at Johnson's Pharmacy, Fowler hired a local design firm to give the space a makeover. The result is a decor that might be described as farmhouse modern, with fresh flowers on linen-draped tables and chairs upholstered in ivory against a backdrop of pewter walls, hard pine paneling, and a display of canning jars filled with pickles and preserves. The look is as vibrant as a tune played on the restaurant's namesake instrument. And as homespun, thanks in part to the inherited brick floors and ornate molded tin ceilings. Those hard surfaces can make for a high decibel level in the dining room, especially on Tuesday nights, when local musician Craig Thompson plays a mix of bluegrass, country, and folk music in the adjoining bar. As we were leaving one Tuesday evening, the hostess, Fowler's fiancée, the charming Lizzie Fisher, who is also responsible for those lovely fresh flowers, said she hoped the music hadn't been too loud. We assured her we enjoyed it. But for my money, the sweetest harmonies at Mandolin are the ones coming from the kitchen. Again, Mandolin received 4.5 stars at 2519 Fairview Road in Raleigh. Phone number 919-322-0365. We also have some news about Durham's Magnolia Grill. They have, the owners of the grill have opted to close. Two stars of the Triangle dining scene have decided to exit the stage. Award-winning chefs Ben and Karen Barker announced they're going to close or have closed their renowned Durham restaurant as Magnolia Grill, and that happened on May 31st. In an email, the Barkers wrote that they were ready for a change and need to spend more time with family. "We have all our parents, all 80 years old or nearly," they wrote. "We want to see them more. We have two grandchildren we barely spend any time with. We want to see them more. We have coworkers we've been around more than our sons. It's time for that to change." The Triangle's culinary world reeled at the news that the region's most award-winning restaurant is closing. A tearful Scott Howell, who was the sous chef at Magnolia Grill in the early 1990s and now owns Nana's in Durham, said, "They were my parents when I came here. They helped me learn about North Carolina." Walter Royal, Ben Barker's first sous chef at Magnolia Grill and now executive chef at Raleigh's premier steakhouse, the Angus Barn, said, "I'll tell you what, that restaurant will certainly be missed." Magnolia Grill's closing marks the end of an era. No other chefs in the Triangle have consistently turned out such excellent, creative, and high-end fare for decades, and no other chefs have put the Triangle dining scene on the national map like this husband and wife team, who met their first day of school at the Culinary Institute of America. The couple came to Chapel Hill hoping to work for the Triangle's most well-known chef at the time, Bill Neal at La Residence. Neal, who disliked culinary school grads, refused to hire Ben. When Neal left to open Crook's Corner, his ex-wife hired both Ben and Karen. A few years later, they struck out on their own, opening Magnolia Grill in a storefront in Durham's 9th Street that used to house Wellspring Grocery. The Barkers became known for their refined take on Southern cuisine, Ben for his complicated yet balanced dishes, and Karen for her whimsical desserts that used ingredients such as vanilla wafers or peppermint patties. A dozen years ago, Ben, now 58, was named Best Chef in the Southeast by the James Beard Foundation, the Oscars of the food world. It was a first for a North Carolina chef. 3 years later, Karen, now 54, won a James Beard Award for Outstanding Pastry Chef. Until last year, they were the only North Carolina-based chef to receive such accolades. The Barkers trained dozens of chefs. Many have gone on to open their own restaurants, including Brett Jennings at Elaine's on Franklin in Chapel Hill, Jason Smith of 18 Seaboard in Raleigh, and Phoebe Lawless of Scratch in Durham. Many say the Bakers taught them how to run a kitchen, trained their palates, and were role models from sourcing local ingredients from farmers long before Locavore joined the foodie lexicon. It's not clear what's next for the Barkers. In a phone interview, Ben Barker said, "It might be we retire. That's as equal a possibility as something else." For many, the news was bittersweet. Chefs and patrons were happy that the Barkers are exiting on their own terms when they're still healthy and with many years ahead to spend time with family. But many were sorry to lose their go-to restaurant for anniversaries and birthdays, to never again taste one of Karen's desserts or Ben's twice-baked grits souffle, the only dish to have remained on the menu for years. "I'm so happy for them, but so sad for the rest of us," said Chef Amy Tornquist, who owns Watts Grocery. "I hope I can get a last reservation." And we have time to read a few more things from the restaurant news. Lily's Pizza to open in Durham. Lily's Pizza, that funky institution in Raleigh's Five Points neighborhood, is now opening a second location in Durham. Owner John Garrison says they hope to open in a couple of weeks in the former Pops location at 810 West Peabody Street in downtown Durham. The space will double the seats of the Raleigh restaurant. The only other changes, Garrison says, are that they can serve liquor and there will be a wait staff instead of counter service. Everything else, the menu, the vibe, the focus on organic and local ingredients, will be the same, Garrison says. Also, a Laotian restaurant called Bit Amanda is opening this summer in the former Duck and Dumpling space in downtown Raleigh. Owner Vansana Nolinta, who is originally from Laos, says they hope to open in late July or early August. Nolinta, 26, is opening the restaurant with his sister, Vanvisa, 24. The siblings came to the United States in 1998 to learn English and finish school in Greensboro. Then Vansana attended NC State University, studying chemistry, art and design, and world religions. He went on to get a master's degree in peace and conflict studies from the Trinity College in Ireland. All of that training led him to food and a desire to open a restaurant that reflects his personal narrative. His sister seems suited to join him after studying hotel and hospitality management at UNC Greensboro. So what is Laotian food? Nolinta explains it's a cross between Thai and Vietnamese food with a French technique. Nerlinda plans to use recipes that he learned from his mother and hire a chef to execute them. They will offer a small seasonal menu. The restaurant will be located at 222 South Blount Street in Raleigh. And this is something happening at Chatham Mills. Oakleaf, a new farm-to-table restaurant, opened in May at Pittsburgh's Chatham Mills complex. Chef owner Brendan Cox, who most recently worked at Peak City Grill, describes the restaurant as progressive American with a farm-to-table focus. The menu will change every other day. Cox and his wife, a native of Sanford, are excited about opening in Pittsburgh. Chatham County is one of the few counties where land is turning back to farmland, he said. It seemed a natural fit for us. The 2,800-square-foot restaurant will have 64 table seats and 8 seats at the bar. It'll be located at 480 Hillsborough Street, Suite 500 in Pittsburgh, near the Chatham Marketplace. And finally, EJ's Soul Food Restaurant opened last month in downtown Cary in the space formerly occupied by Cindy's House Cafe. Owner Emma E.J. Jones says she and her husband retired last year and decided to move to the Triangle from Maryland after enjoying vacations in North Carolina. Jones says she and her husband had owned a daycare but wanted to open a business in retirement. Given her upbringing, a restaurant seemed like a good fit. Being the oldest of 8 children and the oldest girl, you know who did all the cooking, Jones said. The restaurant, Jones says, is the opposite of fast food. Everything is homemade. The menu includes Maryland crab cakes without any fillers, meatloaf, fried chicken, sides from baked beans to collard greens, fried okra to macaroni and cheese. Homemade desserts include chocolate cake and sweet potato pie and bread made fresh daily. Diners get an entree with 2 sides plus bread. Desserts and drinks are sold separately. The restaurant is at 140 East Chatham Street in Cary, and their phone number is 919-481-9411. The hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays through Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Fridays, and noon to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and noon to 5 p.m. on Sundays. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander reading from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time. Thank you.